morning is Psalm 107, and it's one of my favorite psalms. And there's a couple things I want you to, I'm going to read the whole psalm, and as I go over it, I want you to be thinking about two things. All of us are old enough here to remember the worship wars back in the 1980s. That's when choruses, vineyards came out, and a lot of churches started fighting. Are we going to sing hymns? Are we going to sing choruses? And I was a kid during that, and I just remember that, and just kind of sitting back as a kid thinking, this seems a little bit silly. But as I've gotten older, we all have our preferences. We all have our favorite kind of gospel songs or choruses, or we traditional, all of us. It's just kind of a personal preference thing. But what's fun in Psalm 107, as I've gotten older and as I've studied the scriptures, in the 1980s I heard a lot of, well, these choruses are new. We've always ever done hymns. We need to sing hymns. But you know what? There is a chorus in Psalm 107 that is a chorus repeated throughout the entire, not throughout the entire, but it's starting in First Chronicles, and you see it repeated several times. It's in the Psalms a lot. And we read it today, and we'll read it again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That was a song. They would repeat that psalm. David sang it when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and put it in the tent of meeting. They sang that song when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple that King Solomon built. And it was a chorus. It was repeated over and over and over again. And so that was the song of the redeemed. And if I say the word redemption, and I've been through seminary, I had three systematic theology classes. And to this day, to talk about some of the debates in theology, I'll just start getting glassy-eyed and be like, I don't want to talk about it. It just makes me tired. And if I would say this morning, I'm going to give you a sermon on redemption, the same thing might happen to you. You're like, oh, that just sounds horrible. But the psalmist in Psalm 107, he gives us a beautiful discourse on redemption. But like a really good preacher, he doesn't bore us with a three-hour lecture. He illustrates it, and he tells us a story. So I want us to meditate on the song of the redeemed, and what does redemption look like? What is it? And hopefully you won't get glassy-eyed and be like, you're killing me. Because there's four different stories of redemption. And as we read this and as we go over it, where are you in this story? Where are you in this story? Psalm 107, the song of the redeemed. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus you would anoint your word. I pray, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would teach us, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would anoint me to preach, anoint me to exhort. Pray that you would give me the words to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, help us to encounter you in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. When I was a kid, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I thought the redeemed of the Lord were supposed to say, what does that mean? Supposed to say so? What does that mean? But this psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. If you look at Psalm 118, that psalm talks, it starts with give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, and it ends with that phrase as well. And if there's anything that we need to know continually in our lives, not just once, but over and over and over and over again, because this world is hard, isn't it? There are trials and tribulations that come. And the enemy of our soul is always trying to plant seeds of bitterness in our heart. He's always trying to make us angry and bitter. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't let any bitter root grow up in your heart, because it's going to defile many people. And if we let bitterness and anger, that affects the people around us. Have you ever been around an angry person, a bitter person? That it affects our spirits, doesn't it? And so we need to continually know the goodness of the Lord. And the psalmist says, give thanks to him, for he's good. There's one thing we need to do, not as a legalistic thing, just but because we need it, is get up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, let me experience, open my eyes to your goodness. Holy Spirit, shed abroad the love of Jesus in my heart, so that we just don't grow bitter and grow cold. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, from the north and the south and the east is the west. That is the song of the redeemed. And what are the four different situations in this psalm? There's four stories of redemption in this song, in this psalm. The first one is in verses 4 through 9. It's those who were lost. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. And as we go through these, some of these are literal, and oftentimes they're metaphors. And where we live in southern Illinois gets hot, especially in August, and we may get hot, but this probably isn't going to be our experience, is it? It's not going to be. We're not going to be looking for a land and hungry and thirsty. But then a couple weeks ago, I preached on Psalm 121, and illustrated that psalm is as our lives are a journey. How many times in our lives do we feel like we're wandering around and we feel a little bit lost? Have you ever felt like that? What are we doing, Lord? What is going on? I don't understand this. And we feel a little bit lost. Feels like we're wandering. We're looking for something. Our souls are thirsty. We're hungry and we're thirsty for more. Have you ever been there? We know that there's more. We feel lost. We feel alone. Their soul fainted within them. Oftentimes in our lives, sometimes in our lives, we may just feel like, I'm just tired. Our soul gets weary, and it's just hard to keep going. We may be discouraged, may be depressed. Their soul fainted within them. But what's the remedy? Verse 6, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. It's an interesting word. As we go through this, this is different than some of the words that appear later. This word for cry out is just a word. It's a wail. I've told you this too over the last several weeks. The essence of prayer is just help. Help me. Help. And if you've ever been lost or a little kid gets lost, what are they going to do? Mommy! They yell out, help, mommy. And that's what this is. It's a cry for help. Help, help. It's just cry. It's all it is. It's a cry for help. It's a wail for help. They cried out to the Lord. They're lost. They're weary. They feel like they're just overwhelmed with life itself. And they're hungry and they're thirsty. They cry out to the Lord, help. And what's it say? Does it say the Lord ignores them? The Lord doesn't care. He's sitting up there saying, fix it yourself. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. The word there for deliver is to snatch away, to pick up and snatch away. I loved being at Jeannie's house, Jeannie and John's house on the 4th of July, and there was a pool there, and Abby and Adam and Danny were attentive. There were children in that pool, and they were watching. They were watching those kids. And if one of them had gotten in trouble, you know what would have happened? One of them would have jumped in that pool and snatched them out of that water. And that's what your Heavenly Father wants to do to you. He opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. If we just cry out to him, he will come and he will pick us up and he will snatch us out. And these who are lost and they're wondering, they cry out to the Lord and he delivers them, snatches them away from their distress. And he leads them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell them. He led them. The Lord is your shepherd this morning. And some of us may feel lost. We may feel worried, just kind of wandering around. And what are we doing, Lord? What's going on? I don't understand the situation. I don't understand why this is happening. We cry out to him. I wish he would oftentimes just right away snatch us out. But most of the time he doesn't. But he will come alongside us. And he will lead us. And he will guide us if we just walk with him and let him be our shepherd. That's what the Lord wants to do with you this morning. He led them by a straight way. And what's the response? The psalmist says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful deeds to the children of man. That word for steadfast love is a little Hebrew word, hesed. And it's a little word that means a loyal love. It's a faithful love. It's a love that never quits. It's a love that never runs out. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. The second situation is found in verses 10 through 16. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. These people are in trouble. Darkness and in the shadow of death. That's the word, the Psalm 24, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Good night, I can't remember the 24th. That's crazy. It said 24, isn't it? It's the 23rd Psalm. That's terrible. Yeah, quote it for me. Quote it for me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There it is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I need help sometimes. Y'all got to help me. Got to help me here. Help me. The shadow of death. That word there is the word for deepest darkness and gloom. It's not only the death, but when it's like a gloom. It's like a deep heaviness. It's a deep depression is how you can also translate that word. And the person in these verses is depressed. They're overwhelmed, and they're prisoners in affliction. And again, don't think of that literal. It can be literal, but none of us, probably in this room, pretty safe to say, none of us have sat in a dark, dank prison, have we? But some of us may have struggled with depression. Some of us may have felt like we were in darkness, in the shadow of death. Maybe we had rebelled. Maybe some people suffer depression and they haven't rebelled against God. And some of us maybe have felt this way, but we haven't been in absolute rebellion, but we feel like a prisoner. We're in darkness. And we fall down with none to help. We feel like we're in affliction and in irons, and we can't break out of the darkness and the depression that we're in. We've either been there or we know people that have been there, don't we? People that really struggle, that are in darkness. Verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. One of the beautiful things I love about the Hebrew language is the imagery. And this is a different word for cry out that was in the other story. Those that are lost, they cried out. There's a wail. This one, they cry out. And this one is it's a crying out, but it's a call to arms. It's a call of send somebody bigger than me. Send an army to pull me out. It's a call to, it's a call to arms, which is a beautiful image, because have any of you ever been so overwhelmed, or we know people like this that are so overwhelmed, and AA, one of the things that they encourage people that struggle with addictions is to call upon a higher power. I don't like that language very much because it feels like God's kind of far away, but that's a little bit of the imagery here. It's calling upon a higher power, somebody that's bigger than just, you cannot help yourself. When you are in this position and you're struggling with depression or you've rebelled and you just have felt an onslaught and you feel like you're in a cage, it's a call to arms, somebody bigger than me, help me. Isn't that a beautiful image? It's a beautiful image. A call to arms. Send the army. Pull me out. Love lifted me. I need somebody to come pull me out of this. I can't. My feet are bogged down. I can't get out. Help me. Send an army to come and deliver me. That's the image here. Call to arms. Help. Send an army. Again, does God ignore that? He's like, pull you out yourself. I'm not going to bother with you. No, it says he delivered them. And that word for deliver is a different word than the other word for deliver. It's a word of an army coming. The brigade has come. He has sent a remnant to come. And there's an element of victory in that word. It's not just a snatch away. It's like you've been rescued and I'm going to deliver you. And there's going to be a victory parade because this deliverance is so spectacular. And he delivers them. Beautiful imagery here. A beautiful promise. I know I have people, I have friends that struggle with depression, and they just can't break through. And the oppression seems so strong. And if you have a family member, if that is you, pray. And I pray, you'll hear me pray this psalm a lot. I pray this psalm a lot for my brother. Lord, deliver him. Snatch him away. Send the armies of heaven and deliver him. And the promise is that he will send it. He will do it. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, the deepest gloom, that just feels completely overwhelming and dark. And he burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Isn't that a beautiful image? People that struggle with depression, it just feels like they're locked away. But Jesus can break those things that bind us, those things that oppress us. He can break those things. Our third story is found in 17 through 22. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. I read this in modern day, I think of addicts. Some were fools. Because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Verse 19, those are the same words that are in verse 13. They cried to the Lord. It's a crying out. It's a call to arms. Help me. Send the army. I can't do this. I'm overwhelmed. I've rebelled. Do you note here, too, that they've rebelled, but all they have to do, they don't have to, God doesn't shun them. They cry out to the Lord, help. Send the higher power. Send the angel armies. Send them. I can't get out. I can't get out. They cried out, and he delivered them. He sends the armies. He comes, and he lifts them out. And he delivers them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. I've left out verse 20. This is such a beautiful promise. They cried out to the Lord. He delivers them. He sent out his word and healed them. Jesus, John 1:1 says Jesus is the word. He sent forth his word and healed them. He loves them. He hasn't shunned them. And he comes. Help me. Send the army, God. I need somebody bigger than me. And he does. Immediately he comes and he delivers. He sends forth his word and healed them. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about sing, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be being filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. There is a prayer that David prayed a lot, and he said, God, surround me with songs of deliverance. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do is he will sing songs. He will sing you song. If you ever awakened with a hymn or some kind of song in your heart, or you will just be, you know, whatever, I'll be shopping and there'll just be a song that will start. I'll just start thinking about a song. That's the Holy Spirit. Pay attention. Pay attention this week to see if you just a song starts coming to mind. One day I was struggling. I was overwhelmed with something. And I had this song going on in my spirit, but I was too anxious to really think about it. And I just heard the quiet voice of the Lord say, listen to the song right now in your spirit. Listen to the song. You know what it was? It was Love Lifted Me. Like, okay. Whew, thank you, Lord. You're speaking to me. He'll speak to you through songs. And one of the things that Charles Wesley, John Wesley's brother, the founder of Methodism, did, he knew the importance of songs. And Abby and I were talking about that this week. He took bar songs, songs, tunes that people knew that were just very familiar tunes, and he did theology and put theology, good truth, to those songs because he knew if people would start singing that and get those words in their spirit, that that would encourage them. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing? Charles Wesley wrote that song. Hark the herald angels sing? Charles Wesley wrote that song. Beautiful theology, beautiful truth in those songs. And so when he sends forth his word, sometimes that'll be a song. It can be a chorus, it can be a hymn. So pay attention. Pay attention to the songs that come to mind in your spirit. The Lord's wanting to encourage you. He sent forth his word and he healed them. The fourth group, these people are just minding their own business. They're not in rebellion. They're not, you know, haven't spun the Lord, turned their back on the Lord. These are people minding their own business. And what happens to them? They're just out minding their own business, and all of a sudden this storm comes up that they're on the ship and the waves are lifting up and they're crashing down. One of the shows I like watching, it's one of the few shows I like watching on television, is Deadliest Catch. And I think because I've always been scared of the ocean. I've always been scared of it. Even when I lived out east, I wouldn't get in it. There's something very, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll go down the Gulf and stick my toes in. The only time I've ever really swam in the ocean is when my brother lived on St. John. And it was, I did get in the ocean there. But I don't like, it scares me. But I like watching Deadliest Catch because I can watch it from afar. Because there's something very awesome about the sea and the waves and all of that. It's very, it's incredibly powerful. But being on a boat with the sea lifting up and it crashing back down, these people are in trouble and they're going to die if the Lord doesn't intervene. And how many of us are just minding our own business and sometimes it feels like our world is rocked? Things start coming out of control. We're woo! And then we crash back down. It's like, God, what's going on? I need some equilibrium here. And numerous times I've told you about the disciples in the boat. They feel like their boat's being swamped. Don't you care if we drown, Jesus? Don't you care if we drown? And these people are in trouble. Their life is out of control. They're going to die. And they cry out to the Lord. This is the first cry out that we see in verse 6. This is just the wail. They don't have time, man. They're like, God, help! Help! And he comes, and he hears their cry, and he snatches them away. He snatches them away, and the sea becomes calm. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad. It's an understatement, isn't it? Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. Where are you in this story? All of us, at some degree or another, are somewhere in there. Maybe we just feel like we're wandering right now, and we feel a little bit lost. Maybe some of us feel like a prisoner, and we're in darkness, and we're suffering, and we feel all alone. Some of us, maybe we're in rebellion. Maybe the Lord's told us to do something, and we haven't done it. And we feel sick and we can't carry on. Maybe some of us are just feeling like our boat's being swamped. We're reeling and we're staggering because we can't get our bearings. What do we need to do? Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All we have to, doesn't have to be eloquent. Lord, help me. Help me. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he will come, that he will snatch you away. Your cry may be a call to arms. God, I can't do this. This is way beyond me. Send the armies of heaven, God, and pull me out. Your heavenly Father will come, and he will give you victory. He will give you victory. And our song is a song, Lord, you are good. And your love endures forever. He's with you. He is with you. He is nearer than your very breath. Acts chapter 2 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We begin our Christian life right there. And it doesn't get any more complicated than that as we journey with Jesus. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. And may our song always be, Lord, you are good. And your love endures forever. If you need prayer for anything this morning, we're going to sing a song. And you just need prayer. Like, I need to be reminded of the Lord's goodness. I need to be reminded that he loves me. I'm feeling pretty dry. Feeling pretty lost. Feel like I'm in prison. He will come and he will rescue you. Sometimes we just need brothers and sisters to love on us and pray for us. You have that here in this house. So I just welcome you to come and pray if you need it. Father, I thank you that you are a redeemer. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. Forever tells us you love us. You don't turn your back on us. I thank you, God, for the words of cry out. Sometimes all we have is a help. Sometimes, Lord, we need an army of heaven to come and pull us out. And Lord, I thank you that you are ready and willing to do that. Lord, I pray that if there are any here today that are doubting your goodness, that feel like they're being ignored, that feel like you don't love them, Lord, I pray that this word would encourage them. I pray, Father, that you would just infuse your people with your goodness, with your love. Shed abroad, Lord, the love of Jesus in all of our hearts. Lord, I pray we would take time during the week to meditate on that. Because the enemy of our souls, Lord, wants us to get bitter and angry and sour. Father, keep us fresh in the flow of your Holy Spirit. Remind us of your goodness and love. Open our eyes to see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and let's sing our closing song. Covenant prayer. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, I pray you would bless these saints. Lord, I thank you for the promise that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. The promise, Lord, for those who cry out, Lord, you will hear and you will deliver. And Lord, I pray that we would be messengers of the good news. We would be messengers of your reconciliation. Lord, Lord, your word says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray we would be messengers of those things. And Lord, you would shine through us this week to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. Go forth in peace. If you need prayer, we're going to pray for Danny and anybody else who needs it. Go forth in peace.